Hello and welcome to Hey, I Loved That Movie, the podcast where we rewatch the films we loved when we were younger to see if they still hold up. I'm Dan.
I'm Helena.
And I'm Mikey.
What?
What?
Mikey? Buddy? What's going on?
Sadly, Michael is still ill, so we've replaced him with another bearded man whose name begins with M.
Mikey died on his way back to his home planet and has been replaced.
With Matt. Welcome.
Hello. It's me, everybody. The one that's here sometimes.
What movie are we watching today, Matt?
We're watching Barry Sonnenfeld's seminal classic, Men in Black 3.
Men in Black Cubed.
Oh, ever since doing X-Men, I always just want to do like the 90s X-Men theme every time we since we've said the title.
But the Men in Black theme is so good. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, I was going to say, it sounds similar, but it is very like just don't.
And also, Will Smith didn't rap this one. It was Pitbull.
He didn't. It was Pitbull. And it fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Doesn't he rap at the
end? Absolutely the worst one.
Doesn't Will Smith rap at the end? Or was that Pitbull at the end?
No.
Yeah, that's
that
Pitbull,
was Pitbull.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, confession time. I know it's early in the episode, but I actually mentioned this before we started recording. Slept in today by accident. So I had quite a lot of stuff to do between waking and recording, which included, obviously, Men in Black 3. That was a priority.
Of course.
You know how when, like, if you have, like, a task you don't really like doing and you pair it with something you really like, so that you get it done? Habit combos or whatever people with the write books call it. So I used to watch House and go on the exercise bike at the same time. That worked quite well for me. I did the opposite where I had loads of shit I didn't want to do and I really didn't want to watch Men in Black 3. So I watched this on 2x speed whilst carrying it around my house doing the various shit I needed to get done before I go back to work tomorrow.
I was going to say, how's your Sims house coming along?
And why wouldn't you want to watch Men in Black 3?
Well, I think because I confuse it every single time with Men in Black International. And it's really, I'm just going to say it straight
Tessa
away.
Thompson.
Men in Black 3, not that bad.
Compared to 2, it's definitely, it's the second best Men in Black movie.
Yeah, that's quite a good point, actually. I'd seen this once, and I remember Will Smith jumping off the building, and that's all I really remembered. That might be all I'd saw, I don't know. So it was actually, yeah. Quite a nice, pleasant surprise watching it this time round. It was okay.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be awful, like unwatchably awful. So that's why I was also really like, I don't want to just sit and watch this. I might as well get everything else done, just add it to the pile of things I don't want to do today.
Yeah.
But it actually helped. Like, I put all the shopping away. I hoovered. That bit the film didn't necessarily benefit from.
Did you at any point change the speed to be slower?
I was actually watching for most of it I did at 1.25. And then the last bit I did at 1.5 because I was like, oh shit, it's 8.
I think there are points at which the film would have benefited from 1.25 speed because Will Smith does not have the energy he once had.
Yeah, the pacing at 1.25 is actually pretty decent. 1.5, it's a little erratic.
He's still doing Will Smith shenanigans, but he's just not got the same joie de vivre, you know?
Yeah, he's not got
the comedic timing is better at 1.25.
Yeah, he's not got the vibe right. And even, like, I found even Agent K's character when he is Tommy Lee Jones in this, you can tell he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah,
Tommy Lee Jones looks like a used razor.
he looks like he's got his script taped to the camera. He's just gonna say the lines and be fine.
Watching the Men in Black movies is like watching a time. And Tommy Lee Jones is like watching a time lapse of some ice cream in a leather bag. It's just slowly melting and getting more kind of like droopy and wrinkled.
It looks like he's wearing a mask that needs an iron.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, it's like his character in the first one especially is so good. And then for this one, they're just immediately straight back to, he's the grumpy old man, and he's got to just be a grumpy man, and now Will Smith's going back in time.
Yeah, well, and they have this thing where, like, and it's this, it's kind of the same problem that 2 had, right? Where Will Smith's character is, like, the wild, wacky guy who doesn't know what's going on, but that only works for the first film, because by the second film, he's a seasoned Men in Black agent should know what the fuck is happening.
So it kind of
but
helps
he's still
that...
acting like all of this is new to him.
Yeah, like it helps that he's acting that it's new to him when it is because of time travel shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah, at least he's in a sort of new location. I love the premise that racism is just so much better, or not better, like it was worse then and it's definitely not an issue now.
Well, yeah, I think what's
about
fascinating
10 minutes
to me,
after the racist Asian restaurant scene, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's fascinating to me, is what racism this movie thinks is okay and what racism it thinks is not okay.
Well, it's
because
it's not
so
racist
much.
Because this Chinese person isn't Chinese, they're an alien, so we can say what we like about
yeah,
them.
But they're still making racist Asian jokes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Oh yeah, I am not.
And the bit where like Kay gets
odd.
The bit where Kay gets a kebab, and Will Smith is just like joking about how like whatever Turkish or Greek food is like. Oh, this I can see a tooth in that. It smells like shit. Why don't you eat some real food?
Proper American.
There's literally like
fries.
Will Smith spends the first half of the movie doing racism, and then he gets back to the 60s and he's like, racism? Bad, I reckon.
And they're
I'd
like,
never
oh,
engage in that.
Don't, the,
and
you, if you
also,
go back
they
in
do
there.
Have the stereotype of that he's black and steals a car.
Yeah.
And they obviously they acknowledge that in the film as being like, well, I did steal it. But it's like, that. It's not great.
Yeah.
Like,
they,
you know,
they also have
they
the...
saw they had the they had the choice not to do that. They did it anyway, and then tried to make a joke about their choices that they made.
Yeah, and then even the like when he's going back in time, and it's like, oh, be careful, the 60s weren't as good of a time for you. And they
make the 60s look fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean
this.
They, I mean, you know, skip to the end when Colonel Luke Cage from
Colonel
Marvel.
Will Smith.
Colonel Will Smith's dad. Spoilers.
Daddy Smith, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, having a black guy as a high up guy in the army is also just a weird stereotype that happens a lot in movies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm basing my knowledge of this all on kind of things like Hidden Figures, where it's like, it was still very racist and only just starting
it
to
feels
get better.
Like, yeah. Maybe, yeah, and obviously I don't know enough about it. But it feels like that's like kind of incongruous for the world that they're setting up.
Yeah,
right?
it's
so
very
they set
out
up
of
a world
place.
Where it would be very weird to have a colonel, to have a black guy ordering around a bunch of white military policemen, right?
Mm.
They set up a world in which that's very weird, and then they kind of just don't explain it.
I guess that his dad is just so amazing that he overcomes literally all racism.
Mm-hmm. Too good at being
apart from being a black man dying in a movie because they have to have some sort of sacrifice to save the white man and the world.
And, you know, don't forget, let's shoehorn in that that's Will Smith's dad.
It's a bizarre thing because it really does, like, that scene really does recontextualize the entire trilogy.
Yeah.
As Tommy Lee Jones grooming a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very weird. Like, because it also, I mean, to be fair, I was watching, like, I quite enjoyed the climax of this film when they're on the rocket and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gets to that scene.
The fight scene's weird at 1.5 speed. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's probably a bit.
That didn't.
That's probably the only bit that would have benefited from being watched at normal pace.
Yeah.
But even, I'm sitting there watching it and I'm like, how does Will Smith not remember that his dad was killed for this time? And I was like,
well, because he gets neuralized.
Neuralizer, right? Yeah, I completely forgot that was a thing. If only there was something in this universe that canonically removes people's memories. The bad guy as well, I really liked...
I really liked Jermaine Clement in this.
Yeah, like Boris the Animal. He is a really good, fun character.
I think
he's
a sick villain. I think it's a really cool character design. And Jermaine Clement does a really good job as well.
Yeah, like
interestingly, like how you kind of don't realize when he's just doing comedy shit how big he is.
Yeah.
But and... Jermaine Caron's like a fucking huge guy. He must be like, what, 6'3 or some shit?
Yeah, oh, that massive. Kind of big. Yeah.
And also, like.
What did you think I meant? His dick?
I thought you meant like famous.
Oh, I see.
I was watching it, and yeah, like if you didn't know that was Jermaine Clement, you wouldn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah,
like, if the credits didn't tell me. But yeah, I liked him being broken out of prison at the start. So he's in prison on the moon at the start.
Yeah, and Nicole Scherzinger is there.
Yeah, and then she gets sucked out into space.
People do sexism at her, and then she gets immediately murdered.
Although, I will say, when the weird alien comes out of the cake and goes into his hand, that was the awful. Most disgusting thing I've seen for this entire podcast so far.
It genuinely sucks. That is... The hand insect is awful.
Oh, I hated it.
When it's
I
first
hated it
going
so
in,
much.
It's awful. It reminds me of... I mean, I've probably mentioned this before, but so when I was a kid, I caught a glimpse of The Matrix, of that bit where the bug goes in his stomach.
Oh, also oh, okay. awful.
I remember it being so much worse. Like, it's not... that bad in the time I've, you know, rewatched The Matrix, but when I was a kid, it was the most horrible thing. And now this is definitely worse.
It's just horribly fleshy, like, because it's actually quite well animated.
Yeah,
for the most part. Yeah. Like,
it holds
if
up.
You squint,
a lot
like,
of this film doesn't
of it,
hold
most
up.
Of it is fine. When the hand thing's covered in pink cake icing. Yeah, it was giving, like, you know, Xbox 360
sure.
kind of level graphics, but, like, apart from that, it was really good. But I also didn't want to look at it.
Yeah. Like, when it was, you know, foul. Just shooting arrows out of his hands, like, cool, that's whatever, but...
When it was being, you know, yeah. cool, funky sidekick scorpion, I was all for it. That's great. But when it seeped into his body...
Yeah, that was just horrible.
Also, what the fuck was with his teeth?
They're just, like, sharp, right?
He's an alien. It's fine. We can let it go. I like how, as the movie progresses, you see more and more how he is just an alien in a weird human form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's like lots of little bits all stuck together.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, explains why he looks so fucking weird. But yeah, so he escapes from there. And then essentially, Kay is being grumpy and Jay is like, oh, we have to do something, blah, blah, blah. They go to an Asian restaurant. There's a whole racist thing. The one bit that was funny in that scene is when Kay is hitting the guy with the frying pan, and his head's
and
just
his
getting
head just
flatter. Yeah,
that bit, was like yeah, a little snail funny. Guy or something.
Yeah, but then it turns out that there's some big secrets that Kay has that he can't tell anyone, and then he suddenly disappears, and it turns out Boris has gone back in time to kill him when he was younger.
It really like over explains it though. We do see him be like, "I'm going to go back in time."
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to do it with
yeah,
this
I mean,
guy.
To be fair, though, he does like it needs explaining, you know.
Yeah.
He just goes, "I'm gonna go back in time and kill a man," and that's premise.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There's the premise of your movie. I'm gonna go back in time and kill Tommy Lee Jones when he was Josh Brolin.
Exactly. For some reason, Will Smith still remembers it, even though he would never have been put into the Men in Black because he didn't meet Kay and all that shit. But he still remembers because he's the main character and he has to. And Will Arnett is in one scene and he's great.
I mean, I don't know if he's great. He's there.
Oh, no, I just mean in general. I think he's quite cool. He's funny. Oh,
I think he's, a fine man. But I'd forgotten about him until you mentioned him just now.
Yeah, it's basically just one small cameo. But yeah, it turned out that Kay has been dead for 40 years. And then there was one line which I felt really summed up this movie, which is said at this point. And he says, the prerequisite for a joke is it's supposed to be funny. And I'm like, yes, movie, it is, isn't it? But yeah, he finds out it's time travel. The Boglodites start attacking, and then he has to jump off the Chrysler building to go back in time and kill Boris.
Yeah. I think the time travel sequences in this are cool.
Yeah, I like how
there's a really dark and very funny joke where he's falling and the paper hits him in the face and it says Wall Street crash and he looks to his left and there's just two like stockbrokers falling alongside.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah,
which
that
made
was,
me laugh out
was...
loud.
I always get the Empire State Building and the Chrysler Building confused.
It doesn't. They're functionally the same.
They're basically the same. The
They're
Chrysler Building looks a
buildings.
Bit cooler.
Pointy tower, big pointy tower.
Yeah. But yeah, so he lands back in 1969. steals a car, which quite a cool looking car. Yeah,
nice, it is a cool car.
Yeah,
it's a nice car.
I like the look of those kind of old style, like American muscle cars. They're really cool. I'm not a car guy.
Is it a Cadillac? Are those what those are called, or is that something?
Don't know.
I don't know. It's a muscle car. It's just a.
It's not a muscle. Yeah, it's just a nice car.
It just looks cool. Oh yeah, muscle car.
It's a boat of a Cadillac, isn't it?
He goes back in time and steals a fucking Dodge Charger.
Yeah. And then he gets stopped by the cops, and the cops do racism to him.
Yeah.
He is shook.
He neuralizes them, and he's like, "Yeah, I, not all black people steal cars or something. I stole this car, but not because I'm black." And it's like, yeah, that's like you say. It's, hey, look at us. We're the funky bad guys. We're doing a funny.
We are reclaiming racism.
Yeah.
People are like, maybe you shouldn't. And they're like, nope, we're reclaiming it. We're going to be racist.
But when we do it, it's funny.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But I genuinely think so much of the problem that I have with this movie is that so many of the jokes rely on Will Smith being Will Smith.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he just can't quite be Will Smith enough anymore.
No.
Yeah, because like you said, he's not the...
He's gotten to the point in his career by Men in Black 3 where he's not the Fresh Prince anymore.
Yeah, he's not. He's not Will Smith. He's
And that's
he's an
what
actor.
Men in Black needs. It needs the Fresh Prince. It doesn't need Will Smith, right? We've got into, like, Pursuit of Happiness, Oscar-winning Will Smith.
Yeah, this is, like, a full 10 years after Men in Black 2 as well, so...
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, he's not comedy Will Smith anymore.
He just doesn't quite have it in the same way.
Bit of a joke now, but... that's a different story.
Roasted. Watch out, Will Smith. Dan's coming for you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
At the start I was lulled into that false sense of Men in Black security of like it the start really is just like, oh yeah, we're back in the Men in Black universe. Here are some monsters, here's some like celebrity cameos, here's some this and that, like let's have a weirdly racist punch up at, like talking about fish in a Chinese restaurant giving
people
it's
classic
worms.
Men in Black.
Like that was fine. That all felt very comfortable. But it's just, this film made me feel a bit old.
Yeah, it definitely felt like one of those cash grab nostalgia-based sequels where it was just like, yeah, let's just try and do this. And you know, people liked Men in Black 1 and 2. I'm sure it'll do well.
But they took the Will Smith out of, they took the Fresh Prince character out, the funny guy out, in that they tried to make, so they had half of one. Basically, of Will Smith, but they didn't necessarily add a good second one.
No,
because like young Kay is still trying to be Kay as like the Tommy Lee Jones kind of straight guy, and just is, you know, immediately like electric, tases Will Smith. But there's no next characters they introduce. It's too many different ones.
Yeah, and they're not...
Like, there's Andy Warhol, and then there's the guy that's very annoying with the big blue eyes. It's like a fifth-dimensional being.
Yeah, Griffin, yeah.
Griffin, yeah, that's the one.
What I did quite... one thing I did quite like was that when Will Smith wakes up and he's in the Men in Black agency, like, back in time, all of the aliens are more kind of funky 60s themed of like what you'd see in like old Doctor Who and shit like that, and I was like, that's a really nice kind of style choice, like that was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, everything else, everyone looks a bit more budget alien.
Yeah it's just all a little bit weird. Yeah, it's more, I guess, physical costumes and shit rather than weird CGI monsters. And
yeah, they spent all that money on Boris.
Yeah. And then, you know, they have a classic great joke of, oh, there are some Viagrans here and they've got a wonderful new pill for us. The thing that annoyed me, though, in this scene is that why the fuck does Will Smith not just say, hey, I've come, look, you're in this huge fucking alien place where you deal with all this weird shit all the time. I've come back in time because an alien has come back in time to kill everyone and I need to stop it. He waits until he's in the big old neuralizer to say anything, and it's like, for fuck's sake, just talk to the man.
Yeah, because this film, for a time travel film, this does not explain time travel well at all. All we have is Griffin being like, oh, anything's possible. But, like, it makes no sense. And I know it's hard to make.
Well, but also it doesn't matter, because this isn't a time travel film. It's just a comedy movie with aliens.
Yeah.
It happens to have time travel in it. Men in Black has never explained any of its technology. It's just shit happens. And it's funny because it's, you know, they've gone, oh, all models are aliens. We can go back in time. There's a guy who can see every possible future, you know? It's not.
But every possible future at the same time, including the future at the moment and the past. But he can't always tell which is which. There was a lot. I know, like, yeah, they just explain it as fifth dimensional being. But then it's like, then how the fuck does he ever get caught at all? Why is he even there?
Yeah, he's just constantly distracted by other shit and being
vague.
Yeah,
and I think that Griffin as a character I didn't love. I would think it would have been much better if they just got rid of him and we just got to spend a lot more time with Andy Warhol, played by Bill Hader.
Yeah, he was great in that part.
He's a fantastic character. I think he should have been the guy with the MacGuffin, right? Because that's all Griffin was. He was the guy with the MacGuffin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just his what we think is a pocket watch that turns out to be a bit of his brain.
Potentially, or maybe not. It's very bad.
Yeah. Who knows where brains are in aliens?
Yeah. But the point is that, yeah, it could have been his dick.
Yeah. And this weird thing will put a thing around the Earth to protect it from these aliens, and so the aliens won't invade and attack.
Or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought, yeah, because that was... Bill Hader was fantastic. And we didn't get to see nearly enough of him.
No, he's only in one scene, and it's really annoying. Like, Andy
the
Warhol
scene,
being
when he's begging,
undercover.
He's begging Kay to kill him was amazing. He's like, look, I need you to fake my death. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
He's like fed up of being Andy Warhol. But I suppose, you know, if all models are aliens, it makes sense to have an agent on the inside.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just painting cans of soup and bananas.
It's good.
Yeah, that was genuinely quite funny. Like, poking fun at like art from the past is
but
they do it well, and they capture this like the bizarre like what pop up was, which was like, oh, this is groundbreaking, and it's like, yeah, but to be fair, it was a can of soup.
Yeah.
But we're jumping ahead a little bit because first Will Smith goes to the fair, right? Because he knows that the first murder happens to this carnival worker called Roman the Fabulist. And
which is an amazing name.
Yeah, he goes there to try and kill Boris before any of this even happens, which would present an amount of paradoxes that I think might have exploded my head had he been successful. But of course he wasn't, because he meets Josh Brolin, gets tased, and then they together, once he tells him the truth, go to the bowling alley where they do comedy torture on a guy, which is which is another big feature of Men in Black movies.
Yeah,
the Men in Black love to
torture.
You've got to hit the guy in the ball chin.
as long as the torture's funny.
Yeah, they blow the head off Tony Shalhoub like what? 12 times over the course of the movies. They're always
doing. Yes, this guy has like a removable head.
They're always doing extrajudicial torture on aliens, but because they do it in a funny way, you sort of don't. And then you sit back for a second and you go, hang on a fucking second.
Because not only does he bowl with the guy's head as a bowling ball, but then they're like, oh, I think he needs a buff. And I was like, I was kind of expecting the straight man, like Josh Brolin, to be like, that's enough, Jay. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we can't do this. I'm guessing that maybe he was, as a junior agent, he might have been a bit more prim and proper. But instead, he's like, nope, I've got the bag. Do you want me to buff it up? And he's like, oh, God.
Yeah, the points where the comedy happens seem so odd, because it's like they try and make both characters a bit funny. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
Although I did like the sound design of when the guy's rolling down the bowling alley talking and it's just going
that's a solid funny
that noise. That must have looked like a really pro bowling scene in 1.25 speed.
Well, it wasn't, because he got a spare.
Yeah. But he got one faster, so it's fine.
He hits a pretty impressive split, though, to be fair.
Especially it was like, yeah, the weight's a little bit off.
Yeah.
Oh, but so what happens after that?
Then they go to see Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they meet Griffin and then they go to the Mets Stadium. But I mean, let's talk about Josh Brolin for a second. What did you guys think about Josh Brolin as young K?
I think he pulled off the character pretty well. I just think that the character, it was annoying that the character of K had kind of been wound back a bit at the beginning of the film. Like, it felt like he'd lost what his character arc in the first couple of movies is.
Absolutely.
And then in this, it's just, oh, look, he's the grumpy old man again. Like, but I did like Josh Brolin in this. He played the part really well.
Yeah, he was fine. It's one of those ones where it's always a bit weird because Tommy Lee Jones has such, and this is going to sound weird, but such a memorable face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like, whereas there's other actors where it's like, I don't remember them, like how they look, so they're not as etched into my brain that I'm like, well, that doesn't look, that's not how he would have looked. Whereas this one, it's like, but he's not got the softness of Tommy Lee Jones's eyes. Yeah, he's a fine actor. I mean, he does what he can with the script. He can't do as much as Tommy Lee Jones did, but I think also the script's not as good as Men in Black 1. So, yeah, he's kind of let down on two parts there, where it's like you're trying to act a different person, but you're also not necessarily got the best, like most groundbreaking script to deal with either.
Well, I mean, I thought it was interesting that they did kind of like soften him up a bit, you know, because I guess the big life-changing event that happened to make Kay into like an old curmudgeon was him watching his partner's dad die in front of him and then having to neuralize his partner's younger self and then raise him to be an agent in secret or whatever. Right, and that'll traumatize a motherfucker, I would imagine. That'll do some damage.
Unless he accidentally got neuralized at some point as well, and that's why he doesn't remember it in the first two movies.
Yeah, because I kind of disagree with both of you in that I don't really think Kay has an arc over the first two movies. He has an arc over the first movie where he's training his replacement because he's fed up of being the guy who has to always go and get eaten by a bug. And so he has this thing where he goes from mentor to, you know, tired old man, essentially, of being like, you're good, you've got to replace me, you're ready.
Yeah, because then
you for this.
At the end of the first one, he retires and it's like, oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. And then
you know,
he has a nice,
got what
that's
he wants.
A nice end to Kay's arc.
Yeah.
And then they've got to bring him back for the second one because it was too popular.
Yeah.
So they kind of just do the same thing again, right, where they deneuralize him and he's still a grumpy old man. And just kind of remains so. I don't really remember him having that much of a...
Yeah, I don't think he has as much to do in the second one at all.
He has that. He kind of has that thing where it's like, oh, I was in love with your mother, girl who is the MacGuffin in two. He kind of has like a bit of a romance arc where he was like, oh, I did this. And then Will Smith's like, whoa, Kay has feelings, which is a thing that they do. But I don't really feel like he was... He had a two movie arc that then this movie like breaks.
No, I think the second movie broke that in the first place.
I guess maybe it's just like once is funny, twice is okay, three times is like boring.
I think that is the big problem with it, is that it feels like they're maybe both a little bit bored by the characters.
Yeah.
It would be good for him to have an arc of some description.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't have to be that he goes from like curmudgeon-y and old to like happy and.
It has always been my argument that they should have left Tommy Lee Jones in the first movie.
Oh, absolutely! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second movie they should have got Will Smith playing the mentor character to the Undertaker lady from the first movie.
Yeah, that would have been so much better. But no,
which would have been a really just like a fresh and a different format that would have been cool. And then God knows what you do with the third one. But
I mean, it would have then been a lot more interesting if in the third one you get Boris escaping.
Yeah.
And he does go back in time and kill Kay, who at this point Kay is just...
Who's just a postman.
A postman.
He doesn't really need to do any acting.
Yeah. He's just this retired old man that suddenly there's, you know, something weird's happened and he's disappeared and no one actually remembers he was ever here. And then having the whole... there's a younger Kane, you get to see what he's like. Like, that would have been so much more interesting.
And then I think Josh Brolin might have worked much better.
Yeah.
If we hadn't had Kay, the Men in Black agent, for the first half of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I really like Josh Brolin. I thought he did a fantastic job as, you know, playing young Kay. I thought he really got, like, the mannerisms down. You know, I completely believed in him as a character, even if I didn't quite... As you say, he doesn't look really enough like him.
Yeah. If that's like impossible,
for you to buy
though,
it,
is it,
but
yeah.
You can't, you know, yeah, you can't really do shit about that unless you Martin Scorsese, unless you Irishman him, and you just get Tommy Lee Jones to do it.
Yeah, do this movie again now, except it's you know, like the first 25 minutes of Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh goodness, that was fuzzy.
Most of that looks all right, but there are a couple of points where you're like, eh.
So it could have been worse. They could have done that, but yeah, I think I agree. Like, bin off Men in Black 2. I can't remember what we said about it. To be
I
fair,
I don't think we liked it too much. I remember the worm.
I believe it. Yeah, I remember
the bit that I thought was in the first movie.
I remember you. I think it wasn't actually in the episode, but on Discord, Matt, was it you that said we didn't talk enough about the misogyny?
God, yeah, Men in Black 2 is a horrendously sexist movie.
This one also
Men in Black
not
2 hates
great.
Women. No, I don't think the series
not
in
learn
general,
any. The Men in Black, the franchise, does not learn lessons.
The Men in Black franchise is, at its core, like, a lot of the comedy comes from bigotry, essentially, in one form or another.
Yeah,
a lot of the comedy is racist, sexist, homophobic, or in some other way.
Yeah, in this one, it's like they had a board that says sexism and they've crossed it out and then they've written racism on top of it.
Yeah, but they've sort of written question mark.
Yeah.
And then underneath they've got like little kind of like Asian with a tick.
Yeah.
And like then Indian with a tick.
If
trans
got...
person question
no,
mark.
No, not African American. That's not okay.
If your writing board has a list of acceptable racism, you should get rid of that writing board.
Yeah. What I do think is interesting is that they did sexism to Nicole Scherzinger when she turned up at the beginning. Didn't do sexism to Alice Eve when she turned up as young O.
Yeah, young Emma Thompson, who I was like, oh, I forgot she was in this. I remember her being in the other Men in Black film that I've seen. Oh, she's in that one as well as the same character. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, Alice, well, they do a bit, there's a bit of sexism. Like,
is there? When?
Well, that she's all over Kate like a hot rash.
Well, no, they're just in love. That's not sex. It's not sexism to be in love.
Yeah, but in this movie, it is.
Okay, it's not overt sexism. It's the use of female characters in this film. Her role is essentially to be the love interest for Kay. She doesn't really do anything useful except look pretty and flirt with him the entire time. Like, they could have had a badass second agent with them.
Yeah, young Agent O when it's
like,
Alice
we get like, yeah. Oh, how amazing and cool is this agent, is agent young Agent K, like, let's do these amazing fight scenes with him, like let's team up, oh it's perfect. And but then it's like, oh yeah, but Agent O, nah, she just like gives him the peck on the cheek and puts him into a jetpack. That's it.
Yeah.
But she's so qualified, she's such an amazing agent that she replaces Zed in this film. She should
yeah,
have
been,
not, been like,
nice
why
to
is she
see
not on
why?
The case?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why doesn't he have a partner?
I did like the funky 60s jetpacks, though. They were cool.
Oh, yeah.
The funky 60s jetpacks.
I did like the line, there's a reason we don't have these in the future.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's not sexism, and they're not, like, saying, you know, they're not saying sexist things to her, but the ingrained kind of misogyny. They don't even address it. It's not even like they've thought of that even possibly being a thing. Like, they bring up the black racism, they ignore the Asian racism, and they ignore the, we've got a woman here, but they could have made like, oh, it's the 60s, so the women don't go out on field missions. Like, and that might have been, at least they've said it. At least they've acknowledged what's happening. but instead, just not in the film.
Like you say, just show her being a badass capable agent that explains why when she becomes Emma Thompson in the future, she very understandably takes over.
There was a big, shiny opportunity for them to not do one of the isms. but as it's Men in Black, they just go, eh. No, let's just have like two cool men doing side characters. I thought I might as well bring it up because I did actually think of it this time, whereas I can't remember, we were just so distracted by the rest of Men in Black 2 that we failed to mention the misogyny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's yeah.
I think that's absolutely a valid point. I think for Men in Black...
Yeah, it's Men in Black, not Women in Black.
Quite. What are they? What are women going to do? Wear a suit?
Don't be ridiculous.
They don't make suit for boobs. I think when you consider the sort of the amount of like full-on misogynistic humor and actual sexual assault that's played for laughs that happens in the second one,
yeah,
it's easier to give this movie a pass. But that doesn't mean that we should.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's subtler. I'll give them that. But yeah, this still.
Yeah, and she does get to be head of the Men in Black. I guess.
Meaningless if it doesn't show her doing anything. I was just looking because it made me... I'm making myself cross just on this issue. But so Emma Thompson, I couldn't remember what suit she wears. And she wears a blouse and a skirt combo, which is... It's fine, I guess. Like, but what's the point? Like, all the men wear this identical suit that's like their uniform. It's like every single man... is wearing one, especially even when like they're in that massive neuralizer scene, even when the suits don't necessarily suit them, the men are all wearing the same scene, the same suit that's kind of timeless. And then we get to young Agent O, and she's wearing a dress.
Don't worry, they fixed that in Men in Black International, I think.
I don't want to watch that film.
Only takes another, was it seven? Was it 2019 that came out? Another 7 years until they go, oh, women, they can wear the trousers.
I don't want to talk about Men in Black International.
Fair enough. I remember thinking it was okay at best.
Yeah, well, it didn't come out when any of us were children.
Yeah, no.
I don't think you'll ever have to. We're really stretching the fucking boundary of this show anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've run out of movies at this point. This is, what, episode 151, 2, 3?
Yeah.
I don't know.
152, yeah.
There's only 150 movies that came out before we were old.
That's true. They didn't make as many back then.
No, exactly. So now we're having to watch this one.
I didn't realise this. I think when this came out in 2012, I had already been burned by a few other thirds in a series and that kind of thing.
Yeah, by this point, I was
very jaded about watching it.
The third Mummy movie had come out by this
point. Oh, shit, that might have done it, yeah.
That's probably what made us think.
Don't remember thinking the third Mummy movie was terrible.
I remember it coming out, and I remember watching it. That's it. Those are my two memories of The Mummy 3. How have we not done?
You know what's interesting, and I wonder if you could make a thesis about this.
Mm.
I haven't thought about it at all, but I just thought about it now, and it turns out I was right. The first Men in Black is the only pre-9/11 Men in Black.
Yeah, because the second one's 2002, so I mean, they might have been filming during, but. I mean, it would have been very difficult for them to...
I don't know if there's anything to that.
No. Oh, we've got to stop these aliens from crashing into these towers or some shit. Like, I think that would have been a bit too on the nose.
That might have upset a few people.
Well, sure, but I don't just mean, like, that they reference the two towers.
No. The Lord of the Rings film.
I mean, obviously, the landscape of filmmaking, right? The philosophy and the style of filmmaking was dramatically affected.
Yeah, a lot of things did change. 9/11. Yeah. Yeah, to show the American hero a lot more, I think.
And there's... I wonder if there's anything there. It's like Men in Black 2, Men in Black 3 being post-9/11 movies. Probably not, but maybe.
I mean, maybe. I know for certain I'm not the person to write that thesis. But
apparently. So, principal photography for Men in Black 2 began on the 11th of June 2001.
Yeah.
And then filming was delayed and several scenes were reworked following 9/11.
Yeah.
It proper Spider-Man'd it then.
I guess so. But it doesn't say what or why.
No.
Well, we know why. 9/11.
Yeah, that's the why. So shall we get to the climax of this film? Is they have to get to the ship that's taking off to land on the moon, and they have to get there and put this thing on top of the rocket so that it goes into space.
Yeah, they have to put the MacGuffin on top of the rocket so that the Beetleborgs can't come and destroy the human race.
Exactly. So they have to get there, and there's this Griffin keeps telling them, no, you have to tell the truth, it's the only way to get through. And every time they do, they're getting arrested and shit, but then he shows Colonel Luke Cage something about how important Will Smith is. And at this point, I still hadn't, you know, there are no points during this where you're like, oh, that's his dad. Like, not at all.
Until the end.
Not until right at the end, yeah. But they are like, the bit where they're on top of the rocket, and there's like the young Boris and the older Boris fighting them and all that kind of thing. And Will Smith uses the time travel thing to go back and be able to dodge the attacks that Boris shoots him. Like, I really liked that aspect
of it. Have you seen the Nicolas Cage movie Next?
No.
So, in Next, Nicolas Cage plays a Vegas magician who has the ability to see 2 minutes into his own future.
Ooh. Just like the real Nicolas Cage.
And he has to use that ability to stop a nuclear bomb from going off in New York, in New York City or some shit.
This sounds terrible.
It's not a good movie, but there's a point in it where Nicolas Cage has to save his love interest, Jessica Biel, from being moided. And he and the main bad guy are having a standoff, right? And the guy's got the gun pointed at him. He's got Jessica Biel like that. And then Nicolas Cage is like, all right, cool. So he uses his time powers to like just walk into the gunshots just over and over again until he knows where every bullet, possible bullet, is going to go.
Hmm.
And in the last one, he can dodge all of the bullets. And that is exactly what happens here.
Yeah.
It's still it's a sick moment in an otherwise shitty film in Next. And it's also cool in this one.
Yeah, it's quite a cool scene. And like when finding out how Boris lost his arm by Agent K shooting the freezes off. That was all really cool. But yeah, they managed to defeat they kick him down to the bottom of the rocket, and they put the thing on the rocket. And the rocket goes off.
Yeah, precariously.
And okay.
Like, I would have welded it. They just put it on top, and I'm like, it's going to jiggle.
Yeah.
It could fall off.
Just hope the G-force holds it in place.
Yeah, I feel like the acceleration's going to hold it there.
Yeah.
You know?
What if it rumbles before in the launching, starting off bit? There's lots
no,
of...
No, no, no.
There's lots of not being G-force
that.
Before it's G-force.
No, rockets actually don't do that.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
just,
that's my bad.
Straight up.
I love the astronauts inside being like, "Did you hear something?" And they're just like, "Nah, nah, nah."
Yeah. If we call this in, they'll scrub the lock. I feel like I would have called it in.
I
mean, knowing
there's only
that,
so
I would
many thunks
Neil Armstrong,
and screams.
Like, are you fucking mental? I don't want to die.
I mean,
also, was no one watching?
Not long before this was, you know, the Apollo test mission where it fucking blew up on the inside and they couldn't get out. Like,
yeah.
You know. No, there's times where it, you know, with space travel, when it goes wrong, it goes really wrong. And that's like the one bit you can control is if it starts or not. And no one on the ground being like, pause for alien attack?
Yeah, no one seems to notice it at all.
I feel like there should be like multiple people with multiple stop everything buttons kind of watching this.
You would have thought, but like, apparently not.
A false start is probably
it was a different
worth
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the moon. It's okay.
You know, you can't even get on a rocket anymore these days and put an arc net on it because of woke. They won't let you.
Yeah. Exactly.
They'll arrest you just for breaking into a rocket site these days.
The fucking woke mob not letting you
do
it.
The woke mob won't let you put an ArcNet on the fucking Challenger mission or whatever the fuck
it was. We'll know it's because, you know, these days if you try and get in to Elon Musk's rocket, he'll shoot you or something.
Yeah, that's not because of woke. That's because of free speech, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're allowed to go to Elon Musk's rocket, but not the other one.
Not NASA.
Because Elon Musk designed and completely made this rocket himself, by the way. He's really
smart.
No
one helped. He did it all by himself.
No, he definitely didn't just throw money at something. He designed this thing from scratch. It's crazy. He invented rockets.
I believe it.
So they do it.
They do
it. But
the
then
thing.
Oh no. We've forgotten about young.
Yeah, yeah, young
I
Boris.
Love that.
Because old
like,
Boris
oh,
gets
we've killed
burned
him.
To a crisp.
Psych!
Yeah.
Oopsie.
Oh no.
Y'all forgot about Dre, brackets, Boris.
Now we've got to
but
shoot
we were forewarned that you can only replace death with death.
Yeah.
I guess it's implied that Will's character's going to save Agent K. That's kind of what you... I guess it's trying to convince you to, like...
That's kind
believe.
Of what the vibe is, right? Where Griffin's like, yo, dog,
yeah,
you can save this guy, but, you know, maybe you're going to die.
Yeah. Someone said, else nah, will
it's
die.
It's just his childhood.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's just...
What was that kid doing there?
I guess it was just bring your kid to work day.
Yeah, but surely bring your kid to, like, the safe observational bit, because don't they literally have to run away and, like, jump and, like, fall down and everything?
They go down
well,
a
yeah, but that was
zip
that
line.
Was the safe distance, right? That's where they've got to.
Yeah, they go,
yeah, but,
they go
like,
down
only
the cool
just.
Zip line.
Yeah, but that's... It was, again, it was the 60s, you know? It was a lot less strict with child laws. Yeah. You could basically do what you wanted. If my dad was Colonel Will Smith, I would be like, yo, Pops... You gotta drive me to the minimum safe distance so I can watch the rocket take off.
The fucking woke mob won't even let your kids go near the rockets these days.
Right? So I reckon that's... You know, I can completely buy that in the 60s, a colonel who knew he'd have access to the rocket, to the fucking moon launch, was like, hey, kid, wouldn't I be the best dad ever if I took you as close to the rocket as we could possibly get without getting burned?
Yeah, that would be
right.
Sick,
I can completely see that happening in a world where aerosols had cocaine in them. I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah, but he, you know, he his dad dies, and young Agent K neuralizes mini Will Smith.
Yeah, young Agent K does really genuinely like the worst shit he could possibly have done for that kid.
Yeah. He's like,
just be like, Dad, what dad?
Your dad was a hero. That's all you need to know. You're not going to, in the future, talk about how I used to play catch with my dad. I'd throw the ball at a wall because he wasn't there. And it's like,
and I don't know why. My dad mysteriously disappeared. I've got no memories of him other than he was a hero.
He went to the rocket ship for milk and never came back. It was weird.
Yeah.
There's never been any mention of this before, ever, from
anyone. He went out for moon landing, and he never came
back. No.
I mean, I think my, like, six-year-old brain would definitely jump to, well, my dad went to the moon and stayed there.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is that Will Smith doesn't even remember his dad's face enough to recognize his dad when he sees him. So the amount of neuralizing that fucking cunt Tommy Lee Jones must have done in order to make him forget the face
of
his
like,
father.
Just, for some reason, every year, this weird guy in a suit comes and visits baby Will Smith and says, like, who is this person holding up a picture of his dad? And every time he says, I think that's my dad, he neuralizes him a bit harder.
Yeah.
Until finally, aged like 30, he's like, who is this? He's like, I don't know. He's like, cool. See ya.
Wicked. Now it's time for you to be a Men in Black agent. Because you need to save my life. Because I remember that. Because that happened to me in this universe. Right?
Well, I guess, it's like he can't tell.
Kay meets Will Smith in the first movie and goes, oh, fuck. This is the guy who's going to save my life. And then I get his dad killed and neuralize him. That is the thought that goes through Tommy Lee Jones's mind.
Yeah, no wonder he doesn't want to talk about
in the
it.
First movie.
Yeah, that is. It is a really weird point seeing it that way of being like, yeah, I have to do this because otherwise this chain of events won't happen.
Yeah, it's like, unfortunately, like, it sounds like I'm sacrificing his dad for my life, but it's actually the entire world. But at the moment, in that actual moment, it's my life.
Yeah.
It makes the Men in Black trilogy into, like, a really, like, tragic drama about this deeply flawed man and the lengths he'll go to save himself and the world.
Yeah.
And that also means that he must know that at some point he retires and comes out of retirement and comes back. Like, it's a very weird time bullshit.
Yeah, I guess he...
I guess the movie didn't really think it through.
So when he... So his... He doesn't... It doesn't matter that he's there when Will Smith... when he disappears that final time, as long as he had Men in Black 1, Men in Black 2 doesn't matter, Men in Black 3, and Men in Black 2 when he brings him back doesn't matter, because hopefully smart enough to...
Young K wouldn't have had to know about Men in Black 2. That was...
No, not yeah. not young K, but K in Men in Black 2 is fine with being fully neuralized because he trusts Agent... Jay to still do the tasks involved to complete Men in Black 3.
Yeah, well, he's like, well, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know that the timeline is safe. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll get neuralized. Make me a postman again.
Wait, I'll get neuralized because I can't deal with the guilt of mentoring this person that I've been grooming since he was 3 because I got his dad killed.
Oh, fucking hell, what a mess.
The fucking implications.
I'm starting to understand why Tommy Lee Jones looks so fucking old in Men in Black 3.
He's so tired all the time. Well, and why he refuses to get emotionally invested in Will Smith.
Yeah, because he knows
Will Smith was like, yo, tell me about yourself. Can you, like, have an emotion? And he's like, I absolutely can't, because if I do, I'm going to have to reckon with the costs of my own actions.
I'm going to break down knowing that your dad died protecting me. But only
like, you've got hobbies, you've got something you do, and well, Jay's just like, I have you. Young... And he's like, no, that's no.
I, as a young agent, panicked and did a really bad thing. I made you forget the face of your father.
But if he hadn't, would Will Smith have been able to do that battle?
Well, exactly.
Knowing that he was killing his father.
Tommy Lee Jones is the necessary evil that saved the world, but he will not see the kingdom of heaven.
No.
It's like, have you seen Serenity?
No.
Maybe once. Like,
there's a character in that, a really wonderful character who's like the sort of main antagonist, this assassin character, who is like brutal and efficient and kills indiscriminately in the service of like the evil empire, right? Mm-hmm. And in the end, he's getting Nathan Fillion is fighting this guy, and the guy is sort of monologuing and about how he's creating a better world, you know, and he's doing all of this in service of creating a utopia. And Nathan Fillion is like, but what's a utopia if there's if there's people like you living in it? And he's like, I'm not going to see that utopia. I'm a monster.
Yeah.
He's like, what I'm doing is for the future of humanity, but I am under no illusions that I will ever see that future. I don't deserve to be there. I have done horrible, terrible things that are unforgivable.
Yeah.
And that is Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes. Yeah. Josh Brolin has to take the risk that when he snaps that gauntlet with the cool stones in it, he won't be one of the 50% that disappears.
Yeah.
You know, when he becomes purple in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like that saying, like, you know, the grandfathers have to plant trees. They know that the shade they'll never sit underneath or whatever, but the trees, genocide.
The trees get cut down.
I mean, technically, it's genocide. He is the last. This guy is the last of his race as well, isn't he?
Well, that is literally what they're doing.
Mm.
The whole movie is, and you know, okay, the Beetleborgs are going from planet to planet, destroying planets and eating them and moving on. But
everyone needs a hobby.
What the stated win condition of the movie is. Create a scenario in which we genocide an entire species.
Yes.
They may be an aggressive one, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Kay's biggest
regret is that he arrested this guy instead and had him put in jail after, you know, assumedly some sort of legal trial versus killing him outright.
I don't think the Men in Black do trials. I really don't think.
I guess it's hard to gather, like, respective peers if you're the only one and you're, like, left.
They built a black site on the moon. I don't think they're doing.
Yeah,
they're black bagging that kind of.
He's allowed visitors.
I mean, he's allowed cake. Why not just neuralize the bad guys? Ah, oh, they might do it again, I guess. I've got an idea.
Yeah, no, but he's ontologically evil.
I mean, also, Dan, I know that you...
the evil out of him.
I know that you think that that's okay, but I think if you make someone forget everything that makes them them, you are sort of still killing them.
Yeah, that is also a problem, yeah. Thinking about it as well, I did like when Will Smith is first going to time travel and he jumps and the cool tentacly alien ships come down and then the weird bad guy has a hole in his hand and his thing comes out and it goes in your eye and then you have to get out with Shadowheart and laser. Mm. And,
yeah, they were very illithid.
Yeah.
Nautiloids or whatever that were coming down. Yeah, I thought
too nerdy. Even
thought
for
I
me.
Got excited when I saw
you
them.
Fucking gooeyboids.
Yeah, we've been playing way too much Baldur's Gate.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's a D&D thing. Jesus Christ.
Okay, well,
I don't get on to
all right then,
podcast.
You podcaster.
I gotta
you
get on
know
cool
your place.
None of these nerd fucking nerd podcasts. I gotta get on some jock podcasts.
If you had to give this wonderful movie a score out of 10, what would you give it?
Well, I will tell you that I gave it 7 forgotten traumatic childhoods out of 10 on my Letterboxd review.
Did you say 7?
Yes.
Christ alive. Really? Okay, yeah.
3.5 star movie for me.
Yeah, I was going to go sort of more obvious with the 3 movies. Out of 10, where we learn nothing.
I'll probably go hot middle ground of 5 cool-looking 60s aliens out of 10.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, yeah, 3 Andy Warhol one-liners that tickled me.
Yeah, definitely replace weird future scene.
Yeah, get rid of weird, intense Griffin with cool, suicidal Andy Warhol.
10 out of 10, perfect movie.
Well.
Oh, yeah, I've got to end this. I've been Dan. Sorry, I got neuralized for a moment there.
I feel like this happens, though, because I remember nothing of our of Men in Black 1 or 2, really. Like, I remember bits of Men in Black 1 and slivers of Men in Black 2, but, oh, God. And this film is already fading so fast from my memory.
Yeah, I watched it about an hour before we started recording. So
I guess I had less of this to sink in. Oh, one fun fact, if you do decide to watch this at 1.25 or 1.5 speed, when it's the scene where they say, oh, my granddad said, when you don't know what to do, go and eat some pie. Oh, go and have some pie. Came through on my speakers as pot. And I was like, well, I guess it's the 60s. That makes sense. And then I go to a diner and I'm like, they're going to smoke weed in a diner? Like, okay. I don't think that's how it happened. But yeah, disappointed. Disappointed that it was just pie.
I've been Dan. Have we done this?
Sorry, yeah, I can't finish that because I'm waiting for Mikey to say I've been Mikey. He doesn't. Like, I don't have my cue. I'm Helena.
And I'm Matt.
And Matt, where can we find you being really cool not playing D&D-based video games?
Mostly you can find me on twitch.tv/DwayneTheRockJohnson. You can also follow my podcast, which is called What the Flick, on all good podcast providers.
Yeah,
where
really
we're currently
cool.
Taking a break in the middle of our giant Fast and the Furious series, where we create our own Fast and the Furious movies and our own La Familia by having 10 episodes and 10 guests. We scheduled it badly because comedy festivals are happening and all of our comedy friends are currently on tour.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the difficult thing about this time.
It ends around Edinburgh time?
I think end of April is end of the Melbourne Festival, and then you
get... Yeah, we got a little bit of time.
Isn't there one directly after that, though?
Yeah, but not, like, big ones.
I guess.
Yeah.
You can do Adelaide Fringe, Perth Fringe after that, but, you know, there's a bit of time in between the big ones, which are Melbourne and Edinburgh.
And we get the nice time zone difference as well, where it's only a 9-hour difference instead of an 11-hour difference with
Goodness
the Australians.
Gracious.
So those 2 hours mean that we don't have to get up so fucking early.
Fantastic stuff.
Anyway, you can find this podcast on social media at Hilton Pod. That's at HILTM Pod. We're on Discord as well if you want to come and chat to us about Men in Black 3 and what weird time loop possibilities could have come from it. Normally, Mikey comes up with something for the Patreon as well. We do something special for the Patreon every single week. So what are we going to be doing? Matt, it's up to you this time. What are we doing for our Patreon this week?
You're going to be doing an ASMR read-through of the movie Holes.
Oh, okay, nice. Oh. First one where it's got nothing to do with the movie Men in Black.
Reread of the movie, not just reading the book?
No, the screenplay.
The screenplay, okay.
Oh, okay, so, to be fair, it's a pretty close script. There's, like, a couple of scenes missed out. Oh, and Helena, you get to say that really good line. To deathbed.
But perfect Christmas!
But if you want something to do with Men in Black, this week on the Patreon, Dan and Helena make a list of all the different racisms and tell you which ones are okay.
Thank you for cancelling us.
It's okay. We're already cancelled behind the paywall.
That's where I put all my racism.
Bad dreams, listeners.